Isaiah 35, the first 10 verses. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Here ends our scripture reading. May it be of meaning for each and every one of us today. Brothers and sisters, friends, in a Christmas edition of Peanuts, Charlie Brown just could not get into the Christmas spirit at all. Thus, his little friend Linus observed, "Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem." Well, it is that time of the year again. And let's face it, Christmas has become a problem for many people. For some, it's a time of longing and being specially aware of the empty spaces in their lives. And for so many reasons. But it's also the time of the year when goodwill and celebration brightens life for many people. Christians all over the world go out of their way to celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ was born. Not necessarily the 25th of December. We know how it came about. It was a Roman pagan holiday. That was the only day that Christians, early Christians, really got free for their worship. So they thought, well, while the pagans are celebrating their gods, we shall celebrate ours. And Christmas was born. A beautiful, beautiful heritage that we have through the centuries. And this evening, we are planning to celebrate Jesus' coming with our youth, who will be entertaining us in Sponsular Hall before leading us to the manger scene with carol singing. And I said to Coleman this morning, that's such a highlight every year. If it is cold outside, please lead us somewhere like here where it's warm and where we can still have the manger and singing our carols. And that will happen this very evening. My wife and I grew up in a culture where we also celebrated not only December 25, but also December 16. And today is December the 16th, and we celebrated that on a nationwide basis. And in my early years as minister, that was my busiest day of the year, because I had the privilege to be invited in those days to preach in different churches across our nation. And I knew when 16th of December was upcoming, I would be somewhere on a foreign or a new pulpit to me. That's the day that we used to celebrate the Afrikaans Day of the Covenant. And believe me, we did it with as much fervor as we celebrate July the 4th all over America. And in my personal life, I always remember with gratitude to God the date of December 16, 1952. It's today 50 years ago, when I for the first time surrendered my life to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So I hope that each of us will discover our own reason why we just need to celebrate Jesus Christ during these festive days. You know, some time ago, this really happened, a well-known comedian learned of an unusual truth about Christmas. And when I read it, I thought, wow, but that's so very true. And this comedian wrote, "One year everything was wrong. Life was hopeless, and I was feeling useless. And then my son came to me and asked what I wanted for Christmas. And with some bitterness, I told my son, 'Happiness, that's what I need, and I know you can't give it to me.' But on Christmas Day, his son handed him a piece of cardboard with the word 'Happiness' written on it. 'You see, Dad,' his son said, 'I can give you happiness.' The comedian said, 'And just that joy of the child giving him a piece of card with the word happiness shattered his depression. And that became the beginning of his recovery. And the truth behind it is, and that's a question that I want to pose to all of us, have you noticed in how many different ways our children and our grandchildren can bring us happiness? We think it's always we who bring them the happiness. The opposite is also true. And this is what can make every Christmastide special for all of us. Some say, 'Oh, we're just celebrating Christmas for the sake of the children.' Untrue. A little child opening with glee his or her new toy, be it marked from Santa or whoever, does not nearly feel the happiness that mom and dad or the grandparents feel at that very same moment. Children bring us joy, whether they are ours or someone else's. So enjoy giving. Enjoy their pleasure. Enjoy their gladness. And enjoy them while we still can." What's all this about? How did it begin? It's also true that there is one child born long ago that has brought more joy into more people's lives than I believe anyone ever has. And for us as Christians, he is the Christ child of Bethlehem. And we believe that the prophet Isaiah anticipated what his coming would mean. And I must be fair and honest with you to say that this is where our interpretation differs from the Hebrew Testament. Because in the Hebrew Testament, there is a total different understanding of who the Messiah would be. But this is where we as Christianity link in with the expectation that the Jews had of old of who the child is who were supposed to come, in the words of Isaiah. Isaiah wrote it this way. He said, "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Beautiful picture being painted. Then he says, the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord. And in our tradition, this is exactly how we translate the promise of the prophet so long ago. And therefore we are singing in these days, and we will sing it over and over again, joy, joy to the world. Now, exactly why? Why are we accentuating joy? What is there about the coming of the Christ child that brings joy into our world? Well, Christ's coming reminds us that there is much more than the harsh realities of this world for you and me to experience. It challenges us to see beyond the obvious, and it challenges us to discover anew, or maybe for the first time, that there is not only a horizontal, but also a vertical dimension to all our lives. And then, when you talk about joy and happiness, then again it becomes a matter of definition. How do you define happiness? So many people believe that all they need in life is earthly things. And then they would argue and they would tell you, the mortgage is paid, we're fully insured, the kids are okay, we're healthy, we have each other. It all equals happiness. And usually we say, yeah, we smile, because many of us think that way. That would make us happy. Really? Yes, we are grateful for all those things, but really? Does that really make us happy? We know that earthly possessions might give us security, but I think many of us has discovered that it can never buy us happiness or fulfillment. You can be wealthy, you can have everything you need, and still you can be bitterly lonely without happiness in your heart. This time of the year, our children and grandchildren are already wondering what they are going to get this year. And the language has changed. We hoped for different things, most of us, when we were young. But the language has changed. Today they hope for iPods, for cell phones, for digital cameras, for laptops. Words that I believe most of us didn't even know when we were young. But that's what our kids hope for. And don't you bring them a little ox wagon with clay oxen that made me so happy when I was a kid. I don't think it will work for them even if we try. And there's a little game that some of us play with our children and our grandchildren. We will even tease them and say, what possible could you want for Christmas? You know, you already have it all. We would think, well, we have our health, our home, a warm fire, good food and family. Only a fool could ask for more. That's how we think as humans. However, let's go a bit deeper. In all honesty, you and I know better. I believe that if our children and their children could only see deep, deep within our hearts, they would also see our concern, and they will be able to imagine our earnest prayers for each one of them. Because, yes, we want to leave something for our kids one day. I think all of us do. But more than anything else, we want them to discover that happiness, true happiness, is life connected to the values that became ours when we first discovered that there is also a vertical dimension in our lives. The secret of life is to see beyond the obvious. The secret of life is to discover that there is also a vertical dimension to each and every life. And so many live, grow old and die without ever understanding anything about that which their eyes cannot see, that which is not horizontal and part of what our reality is today. There is something beyond the obvious, and that is what our celebration is all about. Something more. Oh yes, we do list all the things that we're thankful for this Christmas. Oh yes, we are thankful for food, family, health, a nice home, and all the blessings that the world can afford. But we only say they are not enough. We need something more. There is a dimension in us that needs to be satisfied, or we shall go downward till our dying day, and we shall end our lives in despair. Many people do not understand the secret, and they have that still emptiness in their hearts. Maybe that's the reason why so many people think that it's okay, let's ignore church through the rest of the year, but Easter and I guess Christmas are different. And they seem to forget the blessing that flows wherever God's people meet, wherever they sing and pray and laugh and listen together. And those carols that we are singing, sing them to yourself when you're alone, and you will discover that they have an extra dimension. In the language, human language that we created, those carols are a reminder in this world that there is a vertical dimension to life. Even when our health deserts us, even when we stand by the open grave of our loved ones, even if our homes is struck by fire or hurricane, there is always still reason to go on, to look forward, to look upward. Somehow, we cannot explain it, but in Jesus Christ, you and I also receive the road map leading directly to the loving heart of God. And there we find, in oneness with God, in harmony with a loving God, that our life gets deeper meaning. A different dimension comes into play. And please remember, even this Christmas will soon be a memory. The beautiful Christmas trees will look tacky, and you will be in a hurry to get them out of your house just a week after Christmas. We will enjoy the gifts we receive, but I think we will even more enjoy the gifts that we are privileged to give others, because they have something to do with the vertical dimension. The gifts that we give has a language of its own. It's a language of love. It's a language of openness. It's a language of giving. And then we tell one another, God is love. God gave us Jesus Christ. There's an old legend in closing, told by our ancestors. Some of you may have heard it. Just a legend, it's not true. They're saying that while the Magi were following the star of Bethlehem, they came to the house of a certain woman, and they said to her, "Come with us. We have seen his star in the east, and we are under our way to worship him." "Oh," she said, "I would love to go. I heard that he would be coming one day, and I've been looking forward to it. But, oh, sorry, I cannot come now. You see, I must first set my house in order, and then I will follow you, and I will find him." So when she finally did all her work, the wise men were long gone and out of sight. The star shone no more in the heavens, and she never reached her Bethlehem. This legend will repeat itself in 1,000 different ways during these days. It happens more often than not. Most people go through this completely busy Christmas season and miss the essential meaning of it all. My friend, it really makes no difference that a no vacancy sign hung over an inn 2,000 years ago. Makes no difference. However, if a no vacancy sign hangs over your heart and mine and life, then it makes an enormous difference. Then we become so much bankrupt and poorer for it. The greatest joy of Christmas story only comes when we open our hearts and when we finally give in, when we take the wretched crowns from our own heads and place them at the feet of the child who was to come. And then we sing, "Come, O long expected Jesus, born to set our people free, from fears and sin release us, grant us your true liberty." Amen.
Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the child of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. Come, O wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and help us in that way to go. Rejoice, 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 Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. O come, O King of David, O come, O shoot of Jesse free, your own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell your people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, 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 Emmanuel shall come to you.
go to the next verse.
O come, O key of David, come and open wide your heavenly home. Make safe the path to endless day. To hell's destruction, close the way. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel.